Hello, my friend, and welcome to the 472nd episode of the Sales Podcast. I'm Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, your host. Today we have Kristen Molinar. She is not on social media, and yet has grown her business, which I find fascinating, encouraging, enlightening, a little bit sad, because I'm not doing it, but I've been inspired. She started a business, and we're going to get into it. Her niche is in podcast marketing, helping people get on podcasts. And you may think, well, I'm not on a podcast, so I won't listen to this. And you'd be making a mistake because we get into her story, how she started, the struggle she had, how she determined her niche, why she niched, and how she's growing without wasting all the time and energy on vanity metrics. So you are in for a treat. All right. We're going to get into, niching versus super niching. Results, self-discipline, why you overcomplicate things and you shouldn't, how to raise your prices, how to run it like an agency, how she's running this thing with very little time. So it was a great, great episode. If you need some help with all those things, if you need some accountability, if you're looking for a mentor, if you're looking for a coach, looking for a consultant, all the above. Reach out. Okay. I do private consulting, private coaching, usually at 90-day increments. So it's not this lifelong thing, even a year-long thing. If we like each other, we'll renew. Okay. I have limited spots of those because it's one-on-one. So it's only limited time I've got. But if you want group training, avail yourself of the 50% off when you join for a year at theimplementors.com. Today we talked about body language. And how to leverage body language even over Zoom, even if the video is off. Yes, we get into tonality, but how you can shift your own energy and body to convey the right message. Tonality is important. Rate of speed is important. The pregnant pauses, the ahs, the ums, the wells, how you are telegraphing your objections. You're literally inviting objections into your sales world. If you get them all the time, I guarantee you are inviting them. You're welcoming them into your world. As crazy as it sounds, yes, we self-sabotage. I see it all the time, literally every day. That's what we talked about in our private Monday morning call. So if you would like to learn those types of things, come join us, okay? TheImplementors.com. Now, let's bring on Kristen. Kristen Molinar, all the way from Scottsdale, Arizona, founder of Yes Boss VA. Welcome to the Sales Podcast. How the heck are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing really well. Things are going good.
So I love your email. You cold emailed me, and there's not very many that have gotten through on their first try with a cold email. But I love what you talked about in here, and in particular, there's too many entrepreneurs working too hard, not making enough money. And like you said here, where is it? So you hit six figures in 2018 while working an average of just 5 hours per week and just 3 hours after you started working online as a $15 an hour VA. Okay. So tell us these hacks. Come on now. But for our listeners, I mean, you now, is your specific, do you only help people get on the podcast, or do you do other types of VA services, or have you narrowed it down that precisely?
We are super, super niche. We only now help clients get featured as a guest on podcasts. We were doing all the things since I started, pretty much. And we have found that we like to be in the driver's seat of getting our clients' results. And so when we were picking a niche, we were like, what is the way that we get our clients' results? And really it was born out of seeing the results for me also, and me being able to personally experience that. So we only do podcast outreach for our clients, and we do it as a way of generating leads, creating visibility, revenue. Yep.
So, but you didn't start out that way, right? You were just do anything for as a VA, just helping people as an assistant, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I was an entrepreneurial failure for the first 14 months of my you know, the beginning of what I call my entrepreneurial journey. That was in, I quit my last job in late 2014 and struggled for the first, you know, 14 months doing, tried to do all the things, thought that, you know, honestly, and I know this is going to offend some people, but I bought into the belief that I could just create a course on anything and just show up and like be a wild success. Like I thought it was going to be easy. I was focused on the wrong things.
Oh, wow. Golly. I thought you were like some smart expert. I'll go ahead. I'll delete it later. You'll never even know.
I thought I could just create a course and people were just going to buy my genius. And that's all I had to do was create this course. And it was incredibly frustrating. I was living with my in-laws in their guest bedroom. My husband and I and our two big dogs and just like trying to fight to make a name for myself online by not really getting out there, but doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes. And, you know, because I needed to make money, I decided, you know what, I'm not going to go back to the 9-to-5 grind. I still want to have like time freedom. But maybe I could just be a virtual assistant. I had heard about virtual assistants. So I got my first gig as a virtual assistant making just $15 an hour, which was a huge blow to my ego. I'll tell you that. I had been successful in my corporate career and thought that I was going to be an amazing entrepreneur. And in my mind, I was at the bottom of the, you know, business chain being a virtual assistant. And not to knock being a virtual assistant, because if you think about it in the right way, it can be a very lucrative business. But what I did is I was not able to take off some of that entrepreneurial thinking and I turned it into a business. So that very first client asked me to write a blog post for him. I thought that that would be fine. So I said yes, because I was saying yes to everything. Sat down to write a blog post, hated it. And then it dawned on me, okay, I can hire somebody who lives in the Midwest minimum wage, which was like $7 or $8 an hour at the time, to write this blog post for me. And then I could make $7 or $8 an hour literally doing nothing. And that's when I realized like, oh, this is actually going to be kind of easy. I just need to go out and get these jobs and find people to fulfill on the services. And so I was able to grow my business pretty quickly doing that. And we officially became a virtual assistant agency. And I was able to be a business owner. And I think the reason though that I was able to run and build the business so efficiently, like I said in my email, working just 5 hours per week, is because I always thought that this was like the side hustle that just financed my life. And then I always had these other like quote unquote purpose-driven businesses that I needed to spend my time on. So while Yes Boss only ever really took a very, very small fraction of my time, I was pursuing these other businesses that never went anywhere because I was doing all the things and I was overcomplicating it. And I was buying into the belief that I needed to be on all the platforms. And so I feel like my treating this business as a side hustle and just kind of treating it like, I didn't care about it as much, I'll even say, enabled me to hit on a strategy and, the foundations that allowed me to make good money, but not have to work a whole lot. So it's kind of interesting how I stumbled upon that.
Right. So you're outsourcing to the Midwest, and obviously there's some margin there. But you're still having to spend the time to find the people, right? Then you got to proofread them and test them. And then you're going to worry about, do they deliver on time? Do they deliver a quality product? Do you have to fix what they send you? Right. So how can you make that transition, without all those headaches?
So my business went through a couple different transitions. I started with somebody just doing blog writing for me. So I would find a niche within my business, I guess, or a role within my business that I could easily give to somebody else that I could trust. So, you know, this girl was really great at copywriting. So it got to a point where I didn't actually touch anything she was doing. But the next step for me was a major part of the beginning part of my business was content management. So I would come up with a strategy and we did a lot of social media. So I would find all the like routine things that could be done. And the next person I brought into my business was somebody working out of the Philippines. So I started at $15 an hour, but I would say within the first 6 months, I then increased up to $25 an hour. So I was paying people that worked for me anywhere between like $4 an hour in the Philippines, all the way up to $8 an hour, you know, for the intern that worked internally. Though with that model, I was finding that I was pretty much capping myself at like 70,000. Like if I was going to make more than 70,000, it was just requiring more of me than I wanted to put into the business. And so I then fully owned the fact that like, okay, I have an agency. I need to run this like an agency. And I started bringing on more people that were US-based, raised our hourly rate to $40 per hour, and had US-based people do account management for me. So I was able to identify like, what are the different roles that I need? And then also create some hierarchy in my agency. So we had, you know, the people that were doing account management, talking to the clients, doing customer support. But then I still had people in the Philippines doing a lot of the behind the scenes, like back end labor. And so my margins were really healthy, but I was not capped by how many clients that I could keep track of and how many projects that I could juggle. Now I was able to bring in additional people to bring in more clients. And I then became just a sales and marketing person, and everybody else, like the fulfillment, just ran completely on its own.
Ick, sales and marketing. You grew a business by focusing on sales and marketing? That is impossible.
but like so little, because I have never done anything really fancy with sales and marketing either. Like I don't have an Instagram. I don't have a Facebook. I don't do either of those things. I am on LinkedIn, but that's even kind of new. I mean, my sales and marketing has really been focused on connecting with people and being really strategic about the people that I meet and how I maintain relationships. So, you know, I say sales and marketing, but really it's just been being who I am. Like I like people anyways, and I like connecting anyways. And I have been able to use that to my financial advantage, I suppose.
How do you not meet people, or how do you stay engaged? How do you find these people in today's modern world? Because somebody's listening to this right now and they're saying, no Instagram or Facebook, that you don't exist.
Well, you're hearing me right now. I know Wes now. And now everybody that Wes knows me. And so before podcasting, it was going to a lot of in-person events. And that's when I really like stumbled upon this I'll call it this math equation. So I think what a lot of entrepreneurs are doing is they're meeting somebody and they're trying to sell that person. So they're trying to make, you know, connect with their next one client, right? What I discovered is I would rather meet somebody that knows like 5 or 10 potential clients and never work one-on-one with that person that I've met. That person becomes more valuable to me if they know 5 or 10 people that I should work with. And so this is what happened when I went to a networking event, and what really exploded my business past the 6-figure mark was I met a few key people that in the moment I thought that they should hire me, they didn't. They then just referred people to me. And those relationships became way more valuable. And now essentially the strategy, because we, you know, all live in a virtual world, and I started doing this before COVID, but getting on podcasts, like this is a way to meet people that are influencers in different spaces. Like, you know, people that need to hear about being a guest on podcasts, and that's what I do. So I feel like, especially I would say in a service-based business, it's so easy to find and connect with influencers who know those that need what you offer.
Nice. So let's say somebody, they have been spinning their wheels and all these social media accounts. I'm telling people, I do a Monday call. So just before this, I was on our weekly call, and I'm telling my members, pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, especially in B2B right now, pick up the phone and email them, phone call, another email, send them a letter, phone call. If they're on social media, find them, maybe engage a little bit. But I mean, can that scale? I mean, do we need to be on social media to be validated, or can we turn some things off and just, I mean, this seems like brass tacks. This is like rubber meets the road, old school, traditional sales and marketing, you know, would you say that still works?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that focusing on the other stuff is what's causing so many people to be so stressed out, right? Because in person, I could just be who I am. Like, I'm sitting here in my office wearing a sweatshirt to having a conversation. This is business for me. You know, when we're in the game of Instagram, you have to be so perfectly polished and you have to like take the right picture and write the right caption. And heck, I'm on LinkedIn and I probably will not stop being on LinkedIn because I find that it's a good outlet for me creating content. But do I really need LinkedIn? Like, I don't know. I think that I could build my business without LinkedIn also. So I think there's this push towards vanity metrics. You know, if you have an Instagram account, but you don't have like 10,000 or 100,000 followers, and it's something that people stress out about because it makes them look less successful. And we're so focused on vanity metrics. We're looking at other people who have the vanity metrics and trying to be just like them. But what they're not showing is the teams behind them that are supporting them. I think that it's just this big trap to do all the things and be all the places because the people we see are doing all the things that are all the places. But how many of us are behind the scenes running very successful businesses, having tons of freedom, and we're just not talking about it on social media? I think that it's kind of a bummer that we're not talking about it on social media. But then again, if we were talking about it on social media, we wouldn't be living this dream of all this freedom from social media, right? So it's this weird thing to kind of wrestle with. But
yeah,
I think we need to focus on connection. That's where business used to be rooted, was in connection. And we've lost sight of that.
So let's say you hire a new salesperson today. What do you tell them to do? You know, let's say you tell them, all right, no social media. We don't have any of those fake crazy accounts. It's Monday. Get to work doing this week. What is this?
One of the approaches that I have tried with my team that we kind of like is what I position as market research. Connecting with people that are connected with ideal clients or meet the ideal client persona themselves, and being curious about the support that they need in what we do, understanding what people think. So I'll use our stuff as example. So getting curious about what people think about being a podcast guest and what their apprehensions are about being a podcast guest. And I think that especially for somebody that's starting out, this is a good place to start because you are able to learn who this person is before you feel like you're selling to them. But when you come from a place of having service and being curious, this generates curiosity in what you're doing. And I have found that it also generates sales, but not because you're intentionally trying to sell, but because you're just being curious and then figuring out where you can provide value. So I think that that's probably not a traditional answer that somebody would give. I'm not like a sales team expert, but this is something that I've found to be really valuable in what we do on like a smaller scale in training and then getting people out to actually sell.
So what tools are you using to find these people that meet the ideal buyer persona?
Right now we focus on podcasts. We do a little bit of LinkedIn, but mostly it is people that have podcasts. So our strategy is finding people who are on podcasts talking about a few different criteria, like either talking about working less and making more is like a big umbrella for us because people that want to work less and make more are interested in hiring people for done-for-you services. Another thing is people talking about outsourcing because those people are interested in done-for-you services. So we are looking for those people that talk about those things and have been on a lot of podcasts. And then you look at what podcasts they have been on, and that's where you send your pitch to be on their podcast. So that's our like podcast pitch strategy that we have found works really well for identifying people that meet the kind of audience that you want to be in front of.
So the actual tool or database, I mean, are you doing just a Google search? Are you just literally searching iTunes?
It's a podcast. Yeah. It's a Apple podcast search. And then there's a little bit of search that also goes on in LinkedIn. A lot of podcast hosts put that they are a podcast host in their title. And so using that as a keyword search is also happening for us. Yep.
But doing the search on just on iTunes or just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Fun fact is they're not called iTunes anymore. They're called Apple Podcasts. Like the iTunes, everybody's still calling it that, but, and I was too, but technically they're running it as Apple Podcasts now.
Hey, don't correct me. Come on now. Making me look bad. You know what?
Isn't that weird?
Got this little icon down here. Yeah.
I'll be honest. Like I learned this within the last month because I was talking about it and typed in iTunes to show somebody new on the team. And I was like, wait, this is not yielding any results.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
And so are your people, so they're just calling and emailing?
They are not calling. There's a like two prong approach. So there is doing the custom research for that client based on their niche. And then there also are podcasters that we're already connected to. And so when that's the case, it looks more like a traditional PR approach. We're just making an introduction. But our philosophy is that we want our clients to own all communications. So if we're doing like cold pitching, like I did with you, we're doing it under the umbrella of our like client's company so that they can then follow up and know and have full transparency with all the connections that we're trying to make. Because this is a marketing or excuse me, this is a networking play for us. This isn't just a like mass PR play. This strategy is for people who want to expand their network and get more key players in their personal network. Like they want to have more relationships with people that are in places of influence, not just, I want my face on Forbes. No, this is about like, I want to be connected to more people that have influence.
That's smart. Man. Now, would this work for other types of businesses? Like if a software as a service salesman is listening to this right now, could they follow some of these tips?
You know, I tend to be focused on service-based businesses just because that's, you know, what I have done. And I feel like it's an underutilized, this is an underutilized strategy in that industry. The questions that I would be asking are, is your audience listening to podcasts? And if the answer to that is yes, then the answer is yes, that there is an audience. But you have to evaluate that because not everybody is listening to podcasts. Like who are you selling to? And if you don't know, maybe it's time to ask your clients, like existing clients, do you listen to podcasts? What podcasts do you listen to? And from there, you can start to make a list of who you would be pitching to find more of those people. But I don't know. I don't know. You would have to evaluate that based on your industry.
Yeah. And I'm talking about, you know, just in general, this, cause you're almost in one way, it's kind of like right angle selling, right? You go after the spheres of influence. Maybe they buy from you, but at a minimum, they refer you out. It's a less stressful, approach. Everybody's a little more relaxed about the encounter. So it's just more pleasurable, right? So
absolutely.
You know, have you seen others apply this? Have you taught this to others, you know, in just selling? Like could a web design company, you know, if somebody, maybe they have a VA service, right? And they focus on web design or SEO. Yep. Could they follow your tactics to land new business?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would find if your offerings are that specific, there might not be as much competition. I think that the biggest competition is business coaches and consultants. And I think that because it works for business coaches and consultants to go out and be on podcasts, I think it works really well. I think you could probably attest to that, Wes. Like I know that you're doing guestings. But I think what is unexpected is when somebody is doing podcast guestings and they're talking about like building your website. And I think the secret of being a good guest and having this be effective is you've got to be willing to like put all the cards on the table, like really just be willing to talk about all the things you do to make your clients successful, because that's what proves to people that you know what you're talking about. So I hate the people that leave with like cliffhangers. I think that that's not a very successful way to do a podcast episode. But if you're willing to talk about like what makes your website services so good and explain it in such a way that somebody can go out and do it for themselves, I think that this is a fantastic strategy, and you're going to be able to prove your authority in that space by giving that knowledge. And I think something we haven't even touched on is what other opportunities this opens up. Like, this isn't just a lead generation positioning. I've been invited to speak in different people's business masterminds about what I do. I've been invited to speak on stage. There are other things and other opportunities that this opens up for you as well. Just like when you expand your network, you know, you meet more people in the space that you're in and other opportunities open up.
Yeah, for sure.
So even if your clients aren't necessarily listening to podcasts, are there key players in your industry that could open up other doors for you? Can you get on a podcast episode with them and chat with them and have that connection there?
Yeah. So if people, we'll link to your site and you've got a bonus, a report for them, but how does somebody know if they're ready, right? Do I need to have my own free report or my own free consultation? I mean, how do they know they're ready to leverage being a podcast guest? You know, because it's great to be interviewed. It's great to get exposure, but we do it to get business, right? Do you help them convert that PR into business?
I like this question because I get this from people all the time. This is like the most common, apprehension that people have. Well, my website isn't polished. Well, I'm still working on my branding. Well, I don't have a freebie offer. I don't have all of these things. So I get this a lot. This is what I discovered. When I started doing podcasting, I did it because I wanted to help make entrepreneurship easier for people. I didn't actually intend for this to be a lead generation strategy. My business runs by itself. So I thought that now I had time as a CEO to go out and just share a message, talk about how people could be doing their business a lot easier. But because we were thinking very traditional in our marketing, we put together like a freebie offer that led to a sales funnel and all of those things. Cause we thought, you know what? It just wouldn't make sense for me to do this without having those things. This is what I discovered. Yes, people got on my email list, but way fewer than I ever imagined would. Most people, what happened is either the podcast host or someone the podcast host knew that they needed what I offered, and the sale was literally done by them listening to me on a podcast. So people would come to me pre-sold. So this is what I have to say to the person that's saying, am I ready to be on a podcast? Do you know what you sell? Because you shouldn't be talking about your business if you don't know what you sell. And there are too many people that don't know what they sell. Example, a copywriter that just says they do copywriting. Well, what kind of copywriting? Like, you've got to get really specific. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to talk with specificity. So do you know what you sell? And do you have a method to how you do what you offer? Because that's what people are going to be curious is, well, how do you do that? So if you have those two things, and you have a way for somebody to contact you, even if it's just a landing page, which anyone can put together a landing page in like a half hour, or you can hire a virtual assistant to put together a landing page in a half hour. Those things are prerequisites to getting on a podcast. I would encourage people not to put so many back-end strategies in place, because I think what comes out of the podcast conversations is all that content that then can feed your back end. So the things you talk about on podcasts, the things that people are asking you, those questions and that content can then formulate nurture sequences and freebie offers and all of that. And what I like about that strategy is that those things are then created out of an organic nature of you just providing service or providing support to the person you're talking to. So it's coming out of that like natural overflow of you giving value and talking about what you know.
Nice. All right. So you just keep it simple, right? Simple landing page, I mean, you do have a free report to give away, but I mean, are you typically just sending them to your homepage? Say, hey, if you need me, go check it out.
Yeah, I'm not super concerned about whether or not a podcast host wants to share my offer or not. I mean, there's two things I tell people. If they know that they want to be on podcasts, they can go to our website. Our website is very, very clear and it talks about what we do at yesbossva.com. And then the other thing is if people just want to connect with me, I send them to LinkedIn and I share enough content on LinkedIn that I talk about being a podcast guest. I eventually, you know, I think about once a week now we're talking about our masterclass. That's that 10-minute freebie that you have the link to. And so I feel if people want that information, they'll get that information. But usually the clients for a done for you service, I feel that the clients who are like the most ideal are the ones that are just ready to hire you. I don't know if you've experienced stuff like that too. I'd be curious to hear if you feel like that's normal in the service-based industry. The ideal clients are like, I know I need you. Okay, let's go. I don't want to sit and consume your content for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I've always told people my dirty little secret is I hate sales. I like people to show up ready just to give me their money. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate shopping. I like buying. I hate selling, you know, but I hate sales, but I like selling. I like closing deals.
There you go.
You know, but yeah, I'm big into creating content. I want people coming to me pre-sold.
Yep.
You know, answer a few questions. Maybe they're 80% sold, right? We got to talk about a few things, answer some questions. Maybe they got a noodle on it. Okay. I'm not hard closing anybody. You know, I want them coming in, you know, full of knowledge, full of optimism.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times it's like just making sure I'm the same person that they see and hear online. All right. I remember this one time this lady came to, I had a workshop and she had one of my books and she came walking in, she walked right in the door, held the book out. She's like, you're a rock star. I'm like, what? You know, like, no, I'm just sitting here eating a corn dog. You know, I mean, what do you mean a rock star? You got to sign the book. I'm like, okay. You know, and then we, you know, she's there for 2 days, this conference, you know, and I love when people go, you're just like you sound on your podcast. I'm like, well, because that's me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's not a facade.
Oh, like that, that Supreme Court lady, what, Amy Comey Barrett, right? She just holds up a blank notepad. Like, I don't know. I know what I'm talking about. I don't know. Just ask me questions. I didn't lie on anything. So
yeah,
Mark Twain. Right. Mark Twain said, you don't need a good memory if you tell the truth. Right? Yep.
I have people talk to me about like, I'm so nervous about my podcast interview. And I say, if you can't answer it without preparing for it, then you probably shouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah.
Like just real. Talk about the things that you know and the experience that you have. Like it's not that hard. I think it becomes hard when you're getting, well, that would put me on another rant, but the people that are becoming business coaches are just to teach other business coaches to teach other business coaches that have never launched a business, yeah. You know, like have a real business where you can offer real value and you really know what you're doing. And the conversation will just flow naturally. If you're willing to be like, I'll answer whatever you ask me based on what I know. And if I don't know, I'm going to say, I don't know. That's not my area. Yeah. We just got to show up.
Well, probably about the nervous I've been the last 10 years is couple of times being interviewed on the news and working with, fortunately, they were friends of mine. They were PR coaches, but they grilled me so hard. Like, I mean, we prepared for hours, right? For this 5 to 7 minute segment. And one of them, it was a good station in LA, KTLA. And a couple of years ago, and big event happened. They had to reschedule me from December into the new year. And they wanted me to talk about buying a car, right? Because I'm in sales, right? So like, well, because they wanted me on, but they were trying to figure out how to get me in.
Okay.
And so like, it wasn't my normal thing. So basically they wanted me to turn it around instead of like, basically use the tactics, like being an offensive coordinator, but then teaching defense. Because like, hey, here's how I take advantage of the defense, right? So like, here's how to defend yourself from a pushy, cheesy, hard closing salesman. Right. So it's like, okay, I can do that. But man, my friend, she's like, got to be tight, got talking points. And she made me come up with all the, like a method, right? You're talking about. So,
right.
And then like, what's the ending and all this stuff. And I'm so glad, like they had a big counter, you know, big desk. And there was four of us, you know, three of the interviewers. But I was glad I could bring my iPhone. Right. And I set it down because I literally couldn't remember everything. She's like, oh, he's got to be quick and witty and these talking points and drive home the, and we made up a whole acronym. And I'm like, this isn't my normal stuff. You know, like I can go talk for 2 days.
You became like an actor. It's all like you became an actor to fulfill like what they wanted you to, they wanted you to fit in.
Yes. And I'm like, she was critiquing me after, right? Because fortunately I was able to just kind of, because they had a bunch of stuff on the desk. And so it wasn't that obvious, but I could kind of look down and scroll up a little bit just to make sure I hit the points. That kind of like, I don't want to do that. You know,
I think then we end up getting into the same position that like we end up in on social media, feeling like we have to put on this like persona and we have to have all this perfection and all this stuff. And that does not feel sustainable to me. Like if I can just show up and be me, I could be me all day. I'm not going to get burned out of being me. Right. Yeah. But that, I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't want to build my business like that. I got into business so that I could feel like I could be who I am and not be told what to do and have freedom. And so that's why I like this method of selling. Yeah. Show up and provide value and, you know, focus on connection.
Right.
Yeah.
So like when people reach out to you, so say somebody listens to this and 10 people reach out to you, how many of them will become a client? Like, are some of them, are they unrealistic? Do they think it's like super cheap or whatever? Or do they, you know, do a high percentage? Is it a natural fit?
You know, I feel like it's a high percentage because we're really trying to weed people out more and more with like our pre-sales process. You know, I think that the people that don't move forward, and we're dealing with somebody like this right now, is somebody that's really excited, but then the moment that they are sold, then they start to like second guess. Am I ready? Like, I don't know. And what I want to do as a business owner, and it sounds like we're going to do this with this person, is just say, look, we're just going to give your money back. Like, we don't want to convince you that this is a good strategy. We don't want to convince you that you're ready. You've got to be ready. So I would say that doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. It does happen. I think that that indecisiveness and the need to be perfect kind of gets in the way of at least 10% of people that try to come through the doors. But you've got to get out there to make forward momentum. I would say it happens sometimes.
Yeah. Do you have any clients using podcasts and like driving to a book sale or hey, go buy my training program, right? No human interaction. Don't call the office and talk to one of my people. Just here's my deal. Get my book, join my training, you know, and talk to me there in a group, not one-on-one.
So we have a client who is a author coach. And she sends a lot of her authors to us for their book launches. And so that really is the strategy, is just get word out about the book. And so we have a very specific package for those people. We do like, I'm trying to figure out a better way to say this, but it's like a blitz package where we do 15 podcast features within less than 90 days to just get your name out there as much as possible to really launch that book. But I'll be honest, that's not my favorite strategy because I think that how are you going to maintain relationships with all of those people that you met just like so quickly? It's not very likely. It's just a like, you know, light the fire, let it blaze, and then don't tend to it. I prefer somebody that wants to work with us and be featured on a podcast like every 1 or 2 weeks. And so that we can maintain that consistency and see that snowball that I see just more value in that. And it probably also has to do with my perspective coming from a service-based business instead of like wanting to get my book out there. Now, if I write a book, maybe I'll be doing a blitz myself, but I don't want to lose sight of the connection that I feel is so valuable that so many people are not utilizing. Like, how many people have we met, but we didn't maintain a relationship with them, that had we maintained a relationship with them, we wouldn't be constantly searching for the next client? Like, how many people do we already know that we could tap into that network?
Right.
It's just an opportunity lost not to foster the relationships.
Yeah. So will you send me chocolates to get on my good side, or maybe bourbon? I mean, I'll be your friend, you know, send bourbon.
Send bourbon. I'm going to take note of that one.
Hey, I'm just saying, I'm trying to help you get in good with me.
I like it. Well, I have to maintain this because, as you said in the very beginning, not very many people get through the pitches, that first pitch. Not many people get through the gate.
That's right. And with 7 kids, I go through some bourbon. Okay. So, you know, I don't need bourbon of the month. I need bourbon of the week. Okay. The big bottles, not the little airline samples. Okay. All right. Well, this is cool. So I've got your URL here. Yesbossva.com.
Yep.
But then you've made a report, double your new client leads by being featured as a podcast guest, even if you don't have a large social media following or your own podcast. So it's a 10-minute masterclass.
It's
awesome.
Super quick. Yeah. I gave it to a few people that I know and just asked for their feedback. And it was like 12 minutes at the time. And I had one guy say to me, you started losing me around minute 6. So we chopped it to make it as to the point and quick as possible. I know people don't have time for this. Like, you just need the strategy as fast as possible. And it's, once you hear it, it's not like this complicated thing. You've just got to hear it to understand it, to be able to put it into practice.
Right.
Cool. Yep.
All right. I just signed up and there's a video of you.
There it is.
I see it. Very nice. So that is yesbossva.com/podcast. Oh, well, I already opted in. I got to go
podcast
back.
Guest.
Podcast guest. So yesbossva.com/podcast guest. All right. So y'all go check that out. If you want to be on more shows, I just signed up. So I'm going to go watch this after jujitsu. If I live, you know, all these people, they try to hurt me. You know, every day, all these people try. I'm a nice guy. Why would they try to hurt me? Can you tell me?
Can't tell you that one. That is not in my area of expertise. So I will decline to answer.
I like your focus. All right. Very nice. All right, Kristen Molnar, all the way from Scottsdale. Thanks for coming on the show. It's been great.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Wes.
Have a great day.
You too.
Keep it simple. Connect with people. Be strategic. Find spheres of influence instead of trying to sell one person. Right? So much good stuff in there. And she's chill, like I was saying. You know, things were hard. Now things are easy. All right? Find the easy way. Doesn't mean you take the easy path, but you find the path that makes running your business and growing it easy. It should not be a huge struggle. I see people, I've got clients. Sometimes I fire them. Sometimes I can help them, but they're crazy. They're chaotic and they thrive on it. You get addicted to it and you got to make sure that's not you. Oh man, I'm busy, busy. You know, I've got guys that they can't keep appointments. There's always something more urgent. I'm like, okay, dude, you know, I've already been paid. So it's up to you. And I don't like that, right? I can't produce meaningful results, so they don't renew. I don't get huge testimonials from them. Sometimes we have a call to Jesus meeting, you know, come to Jesus meeting. Sometimes they listen. But it shouldn't be that chaotic. I've seen that too much. All right. That's why, I mean, Kristen, she resonated with me and just her style, her approach, keeping it easy, keeping it simple. I had a call with a friend of mine who's got a VA staffing business, and he wants me to try his people. And that I've used them for years helping with the podcast. So they do the graphics, they do the transcription, they do the final posting to it and whatnot. But, you know, just had this briefing with the person I'm going to have for a month, try them out. And all of this social media stuff, oh, they can post as you. You know, and so I just let them list all the things they can do. Like I need help with email and scheduling and, you know, cleaning up the CRM, doing some data entry. I don't need somebody acting like me. You know, I'm not a fan of that. Because it's like my assistant acting like me is going to talk to your assistant acting like you. And then what? They eventually a meeting happens. I mean, it just seems so insincere. So call me old fashioned. Call Kristen old fashioned, right? She focuses on relationships, put all your cards on the table, be an open book. After 472 episodes and writing two books and the CRM Sushi podcast and posting all my stuff online, I should be an open book. So, speaking of which, you know, if you want my book, get my book, 79stories.info. You'll get a signed copy when you join the Implementors, theimplementors.com. I'll send you one. I really will. Then we can talk about it. Talk about it in our private group every day. We talk about it every Monday live on Zoom. And I'll give you even additional nuggets, pearls of wisdom I learned from all these interviews and the books I read and more. Okay? So avail yourself of that, theimplementors.com. If you need one-on-one help, just go to thesaleswhisper.com, hit the contact us, and let's talk. Thanks for listening. I'll go sell something.